Our second reading is the story of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came to rest on the fledgling community of Christians. We find it in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. You may follow along in your pew Bibles on page 90. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native tongue language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, Aren't not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to the Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. For this is what is spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
I want to thank Tom for reading this morning. Kathy had last week, quite the mouthful of names again. So thank you so much for reading. Not to scare you all away, because you also have this opportunity open and available to you. I promise not every week has a mouthful of names. And there are good resources for how to pronounce those. And I'm willing to share. So please, if you are interested in being a scripture reader, either let myself know or Heather Gilmore know, and we will be happy to put you on the schedule of readers for worship. Thank you. Let us turn to the Lord God in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When we left off last week, we had left Jesus talking with his disciples, making a promise to them. He had promised them that he was going to send the Holy Spirit, an advocate, someone to be a comforter, a reminder, one who would prod them along in their faith journey when Jesus was no longer physically present and visible and walking on the earth anymore. And today we find ourselves with the disciples in that very situation. For Jesus has ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and the disciples are left on earth, still a little anxious and wondering what to do. So they've gathered together, as was their habit, and they are together waiting for that promise that Jesus made them to be fulfilled. Jesus had promised to send the Holy Spirit, and that promise, we hear today, does not end up being void. In fact, today we hear the promise come to life in a powerful birth of a Spirit-filled community that's empowered to live out its mission in the world. Today we know that community as the Church Universal, something that you and I are a part of as we gather for worship. The images that the author uses, that Luke uses to evoke the Holy Spirit, are those that are deeply connected to the past of this people who is gathered. You see, they are going to know the stories of the Old Testament well. So when God shows up among them as the Holy Spirit in flame and fire, they remember, this is the God we know. God has shown up to us in fire and flame before. There was that time that God spoke to Moses. And God spoke to Moses in a bush that was on fire and burning, but yet it was not consumed. And then after Moses had spoken God's word to God's people and they had crossed the Red Sea, they found themselves wandering in the wilderness. But all was not lost, for God once again showed up, sometimes in the form of fire, leading them in a fiery pillar at night, so they could find their way in the wilderness. And beyond just the release and travel and going into the promised land, God continued to show up in fire and flame to the prophets and leaders of the people of Israel. God took a flaming, hot, red coal and had it touch the lips of the prophet Isaiah before he began to speak God's word to God's people so that his lips would be clean to speak God's words. And there was the time that God showed up for Elijah in the way of fire. You see, there was a showdown of prophets on a mountain one day. And the prophets of Baal were supposed to call down fire to burn up their offering on their altar that they had built. And they were having trouble doing it. So just to show off, Elijah decides that he's confident in God. So confident, in fact, that not only will he build his altar and put the sacrifice on it, they're going to have to dump a river's worth of water on top of it. And then what happens? But God shows up in fire and flame. And God's might and power are known. So when tongues of fire appear on the heads of those gathered in that place, they are sure that God is with them, that God is there. But it's not just tongues of fire and flame that are in the house that day where the disciples are gathered. There's also a sound of a great and rushing wind. And the people know that God's shown up in that too. They remember the whirlwind and Elijah, the sounds of wind and storm that caused Jonah to be thrown overboard from the ship where he was running away. They remember the whirlwind and the great winds in the story of Job and how God showed up to Job in the midst of the chaos of Job's life. They remember when Ezekiel also encountered God in the great wind. But lest we lose sight of the whole story, flames and fire and the sounds of a great wind that fill the house are just in the first four verses of our story. Each person receives these gifts of wind and fire, flame, in different ways. And the tongues of flame above their head begin to signal a different kind of tongue that begins to take root in that gathering. For you see, they begin to speak in the tongue of all of those who are gathered in Jerusalem that day. And that's a lot of people. For 50 days after the Passover, 50 days after what we celebrate as the crucifixion and then resurrection through Easter, we celebrate Pentecost. the Jews were celebrating a different festival. They were celebrating a festival when they remembered that God had given them the gift of the Torah, of God's own word and story for God's people, something that we treasure and recognize still today. So the Jews have gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate this gift of God's word among them, and then they begin to hear God's word among them, but in different ways than they have ever heard in Jerusalem before. For these disciples who have gathered and received the gift of the Holy Spirit begin speaking in languages that they only know from their home countries. They begin to speak in languages that are not known in Jerusalem, in the languages from whence they came. And it catches them off guard because, well, most of the people gathered in the house were from Galilee. For Jesus grew up and began his ministry in Galilee, and so many of his followers and closest friends were from that region. Now, Galilee was sort of like that place in the country that gets made fun of for being sort of the backwaters. We're having all of the rednecks, all of the people gathered there that maybe aren't the best and the brightest in society. The Galileans happened to have that reputation in Israel. And so, not being known for their great linguistic abilities or acumen, it's surprising that those who are from Galilee then are the ones gifted with tongues, with the ability to speak in other languages clearly and easily. It sort of echoes what was said of Jesus as he began his ministry, coming from the town of Nazareth in Galilee. The charge was put out there: can anything good come from Nazareth? And we want to say with a resounding yes that good can come from Nazareth, and that good still does come from Galilee in this story from Acts. The gift of the Spirit, the gift of understanding and interpretation, the gift of sharing God's good news can come from an unlikely place. No one is excluded. God is using real people to do God's own holy work. So we hear how the people are drawn to this gathering. There was no indication that there was a big crowd already gathered outside the house. It must have been the rush of the wind and maybe the flash and spark of the flame and the fire, and then all of a sudden hearing these strange sounds coming out of this house that begin to draw people to it. People start to amass, and there's a great crowd. And so Peter stands up to do what, well, Peter's going to do. He's going to preach. So he begins to address the people about what has just happened and what it all means. He invites the people native to Jerusalem and the surrounding hill country of Judea to listen. He invites those who recognize someone speaking in a tongue familiar to them. People from all over the known world at that time, the Mediterranean basin, to come and listen and hear. Because Peter begins to tell of a community who has received what has long been promised. Not only promised by Jesus, but promised long ago by the prophet Joel. Come be a part of a community that has been reinvigorated, that has been given a new identity through Christ Jesus, those who are committed to a new way of being in the world. On that day of Pentecost, the church was called to continue loving God the way that they had been taught. Nothing in that realm changed, but they were empowered in a new way by the Holy Spirit. So as we hear this story again to us today, maybe it's a familiar story. Maybe it's a familiar call to live into the Holy Spirit, into the gifts that God has already given us. But maybe we can hear it in a new way, as an invitation to be in relationship once again with the divine. We have each received various gifts, and we employ them in different ways. And that is good and builds God's kingdom. And sometimes we're tempted to think, well, this story in Acts of the first Pentecost only speaks of the gift of different languages, and I can't speak any other languages, so maybe I'm exempt. You're not. Some of you may have the ability to speak another language or several other languages, and that's a wonderful and useful gift. Some of you may have the gift of being able to care for those who are sick or who are aging, to provide comfort and support in ways that others of us are not gifted. Maybe some of you have the gift of caring for others who are young through foster care or through adoption, through opening your home to those who need a loving family. Maybe some of you have a gift for mending relationships, for finding those that are broken, and for helping them to find wholeness and healing and reconciliation with others. Maybe some of you have the gift of providing material goods for things like Vacation Bible School or Heartfelt or Pajama Connection or any of the other various ministries that we have going on both inside and outside the walls of this congregation. Some of you have the gift of listening, of an open ear for someone who needs to think through something. Some of you have the gift of wise counsel for those very situations. Some of you have the gift of contemplating, of thinking, of discerning, of sharing in wisdom. And some of you have the gift of dreaming, God-sized dreams and visions for this place. These are all good gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit. So I invite you to think creatively and courageously and faithfully about the ways that God has gifted you on this Pentecost Sunday. We are each called to be on fire for Christ in our own ways, passionate about sharing our faith and hopeful for the future of God's kingdom. And maybe you think this is all well and good, but you're not sure how you fit into this. Because maybe you want to share the story of Christ's resurrection and death, but you need your heart set on fire first. Let me tell you a story of a man named John Wesley who had that same struggle. You see, he was the founder of this Methodist movement that we are a part of today. He had tried to live out his faith as best he could, and so he decided that he would go be a missionary. He was going to come to the colony of Georgia and share the good news of Jesus Christ, but his first attempt was a complete and miserable failure. He found himself doubting and afraid, despairing, and unable to do what he had set out to do. So he returned home, unsure of his own faith walk, and continued to run into some more spiritual difficulties. But he was determined to find the assurance that he needed, the assurance of his salvation, and find a path forward that meant that he could continue serving God. I want to read you a short excerpt from John Wesley's journal, dated Wednesday, May 24th, 1738. This is what he writes. In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street, where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. About a quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust Christ and Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given to me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from sin and death. Pentecost is a time for our hearts to be strangely warmed with the fire that glows bright from God. It's a time for us to celebrate the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit has been up to is continuing to do and will do in and through us as individuals and as a community of faith called to transform the world. Our mission as a church invites us deeper into this call by knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. And our mission statement as a denomination also invites us to be engaged in this work, for it is to be and to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. How are you going to join in fulfilling these missions by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can transform this world into God's kingdom? Let us pray. Gracious God, we are reminded again of when the first believers in Jesus were given the courage to tell others about your saving grace. We believe that you have given us the same courage to tell others about Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. For you know, O God, that sometimes we are too fearful and we feel alone. But just like that Pentecost long ago, we too are surrounded by your love and your presence. Help us to live in such a way that others see in us a reflection of your love. Help us to have the courage to tell others about the difference it makes in our lives to trust in your love and care. Help us to see those around us who want to be in the fellowship of Christians. Help us to witness to one another so that we all grow in our faith. God of wind and fire and flame, this morning we come grateful for your involvement in the church that did not end at the cross or end at the tomb, but that you poured out your Holy Spirit onto your church that first Pentecost, and that you have done so every day since. Through the power of your Holy Spirit and the witness of your Son, fill us and use us, we pray. Amen.